Good morning, everybody. This is Julie with the Iowa Healthcare Association. Welcome to our monthly MCO call. Brandon is off today. He became a new father very early this morning, and everybody is doing well. So he is at the hospital today. So I'll be filling in. So let's go ahead and take a quick roll call here and see who we have with us with Iowa Total Care. I do believe I see Jeannie on.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
Good.
With me today, I have Tony Wietrich, Hillary Roach, Di Pecci, and Justin Schieffer will be joining us midway through for any questions we have as it relates to EVV.
Okay. Let's go ahead and start the call off like Brandon usually does and find out what updates since we've met last that Iowa Total Care has for our members.
All right. Thanks, Julie. Appreciate the opportunity. The only update that I have this month is that we have updated the provider relations territory. We have moved things around just slightly. There will be one additional update. I have just shared that link in the chat. I caution you not to save this, but to go out to it, because what happens is that when folks save it, when the update occurs, it doesn't update their link. So I will share the updated link next month. We have a new individual in our Region 8, which is the lower right-hand area of Iowa, South East Iowa, which includes Lucas, Monroe, Wapello, Jefferson, Henry, Lee, Van Buren, Davis, and Appanoose counties. Her name is Ashley Woods, and she has started her new territory and just received her phone number and her email address all updated. So we did update the actual territory, but at the time we did not have sufficient information to update with her phone number and email address. We have now, and that will be updated by next month. So wanted to share that with everyone to please follow the first line of resolution and reaching out to your provider relations specialist with any questions.
Excellent. Any other updates from your team?
I don't believe so. I'm sure that as we go through the questions, we might think of others or as they relate to claims and such, but we can certainly jump into the questions if that's where you'd like to go next, Julie.
Okay, thank you. So we'll go into the questions that were sent over, and then I did have one come in after that. So our first question is there a current project being started and or already in process for January 21 claims? Reprocessing for providers who had claims billed and paid at old rates. These would be claims that processed prior to the MCO having the rates loaded. And when can providers expect that this project would be completed by?
So we'll toss that question over to Hillary. Hillary, are you with us? Might be having some technical problems. We're just checking.
Yeah, if you're with us, you're muted.
We might have some mute problems, so we're working on it on this end. So if you can just bear with us. She's trying to unmute right now. So apologize for the delay.
I don't see her in by name, so I don't know if she's in by phone number, or I could help unmute, but I'm not sure what number she'd be under.
She just sent a note that it was not allowing her to unmute, so she is going to call back yet.
Okie doke. Do you want me to move on to question two, or shall we wait?
Well, I suspect that question two will also be Hillary's.
Okay.
So I would probably, if we just wait for Ms. Hillary to join us back. So, gotta love technology when it works, right?
Yeah, when it works, for sure. We became quickly tech savvy in the last year, for sure.
Yep. Well, congratulations to Brandon. That's an awful, beautiful opportunity that he has a new child this morning. So that is.
Yes.
Wish him all our best from ITC, please.
Good day to have a baby.
Yes.
And I apologize, this is Hillary. I had to call back in to get my mute to let me unmute. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Right.
Sorry
Hillary.
For that. Thank you. So on the first question about the rates being loaded, they are loaded, and we do have a project pulled for those. We're anticipating that project to pay out at the beginning of April. We're trying to escalate it, so it should begin paying out before then. But beginning of April is when you should expect all of your payments for any claims that process prior to that rate update.
All right. Thank you. Question two is, what is the status of the L6 denial problem for home health agencies where their claims are being denied for needing a Medicare EOB?
Yes, I just checked on this configuration a few minutes ago. We had some issues with a previous ticket where it would have been in sooner, but this configuration is in testing right now with our corporate partners. Once it goes through testing there, it comes back to us for a final test, and then it will move into production. So I anticipate that going into production by Friday. So you should stop seeing the L6 denials on claims submitted after Friday. And then we'll go back and reprocess any remaining L6 denials that we have out there for those claims.
So Iowa Total Care will do the sweep, and they won't have to do, the providers won't have to do anything on their end?
Correct.
Thank you. Iowa Total Care continues to pay the SNF non-covered days / co-insurances at 42% of the Title 19 rate instead of paying them at zero. Have heard from multiple providers about this continuing to be an issue.
I believe that we have this configuration fixed. If there's claim examples, could you send them over so that we can take a look? I believe it was fixed about 2 months ago, so you shouldn't have seen any non-covered days paid after that point. If you could send those claim examples over so we can take a look and see what's happening, that would be great. And then we'll get a configuration fix in for those.
So would that go to their representative then if they need to send those over?
Yes, that would be great.
Okay. The teams are struggling when we have customers needing therapy. Iowa Total Care will authorize one visit only per discipline. They then require the therapy assessment prior to granting more visits. The challenge we have is that some of the customers need visits right away to maintain, improve, or prevent decline of their abilities, and the auth for the additional visits may take a week or two. While that's a reasonable turnaround time for research, new admissions are more acute and typically need these services quickly. Is there a way to have these auths expedited?
Is Di on the line? I think I heard.
Di is here.
Oh, yes. Can you hear me now?
We can.
I was just talking away on double secret mute. So the part of this that confused me is the one visit per discipline, because I'm not aware of any limit that we're doing. You can have four home health visits without authorization for whatever. So it could be, you know, a nurse, two therapy, whatever. So it's not like one physical therapy, one OT, one speech, and one nurse. It's any combination of those visit types. You get four visits without authorization. And the purpose of that is to, you know, do your first assessment and make your plan of care. So that was kind of my first one. I was a little confused by the one per discipline because that's not what we're doing. And then once you have that plan of care, then you can submit it and we'll do the review for the whole time period.
I think this is Julie. I think part of it is four visits can be taken up in the first week if there's nursing and therapy and a home health aide. So a turnaround time of a week or two, and it sounds to me like they may be experiencing that they're getting off for the either PTOT or speech for them to go in and do the eval, but they don't have any visits to treat after that. And so then the patients are put on hold until they can get visits approved is what I think this is headed. If that's what they're referring to.
But you don't have to auth those first four. So that's where I was getting hung up. I know some agencies are choosing to call and get an auth for the first four visits, even though it's not required for to satisfy your billing system. But we don't require that you contact us at all for those first four visits. So you can go see the member, start your process, and then send the request in. Four visits in 2 weeks. So how long is it taking you to do the plan of care? Because over 90% of our cases are turned around in 8 days. So it wouldn't be 2 weeks unless there's a real outlier. The one exception is we have to have all the information when the request is submitted, which I think home care is really good about. There's other service types where they request a service but don't do clinical. But if you see them do your first visit, because do you do your plan of care after one visit? Yes. Okay. So yes, if you do that, if you go see them and do your plan of care after one visit and send it in, then you've got three more visits while we're working on the authorization. So and generally, I think, they should align.
Yeah. Typically, that I'm sure they are getting those getting that in quickly. I think the issue is, again, when they have multiple disciplines, they're going to go through four visits in a week or less, and then they're sitting there for a week waiting on the rest of it. And I think that's what we're seeing in the chat, but we'll get to those questions in the chat here just as soon as
we finish. But it can take it.
The other questions that were pre-submitted.
Four visits in the home location, so not per rep code. It's different if they're going to a therapy office, so not billing them in the home, then it's by discipline. But when it's in the home, it's four visits total. So you guys see them once, you submit the request with the plan of care. You have three visits left while we're doing the visit. Now, if you've submitted the request, it's not like retro rules will be applied. So if you do one more visit before you officially get the approval back, it's not like that's a retro request where we apply those rules. We would just look at the plan of care for medical necessity.
Okay. The last pre-submitted question, Iowa Total Care has denied our COVID adjustment claims as duplicate when we only did a 217 adjustment bill type on the first claim and then 213 bill types on the additional claims. Even though this is how their instructions said to bill them, the 213 bill type claims denied as duplicate. Do we need to wait for the first 217 claims to process before submitting the other claims? This would drag the process out for months as they aren't processing those adjustment claims very quickly. Is it okay to continue submitting all of the COVID adjustment claims as a 217 bill type?
Yes. All of the adjustment claims or corrected claims technically have to be billed with that 7. I'm trying to pull up some data to see if I can see what's going on. But if you have claim examples and could send those to your provider rep as well, that would be helpful. Because I know that I've seen some pay. So if you have examples of ones that are denying, I want to be able to see what they're denying for, and if we have an issue, get it addressed. But I will take a look on our end and see what I can find out from our side. So I'm not sure on the answer to that, except that you shouldn't have to wait till those claims process in order to submit the other claims. They are being denied as duplicates is what I'm seeing in the chat. Okay. I will take a look into that and see where that duplicate is being placed on the claims. And I'll have to get back to you. So I'll send either Brandon or you a message letting you know what I find out about that, so we can maybe either do a provider alert or a message out to everyone. But I will take a look and see what's happening with those claims.
Yeah, if you want to send Brandon an email, he'll be checking those.
Okay, perfect.
And then I had another one come in after Brandon submitted questions. Looks like we have a home health provider who has been working with someone by the name of Carmen, who maybe is on medical leave. And besides Jody Manning, is there another provider relations that we can contact under the Polk County area? Because Jody's really hard to get a hold of. They apparently emailed Jody a week ago, still have no response. Her voicemail is full. This is in regards to the project 16554223. Sent an appeal, but they did not read the letter. Instead of all the copies of documents I enclosed with my appeal was sent to the claims department. I received another letter as a denial that they cannot process those claims because they are copies. When I talked to Iowa Total Care, I was told to contact my provider relation person to assist me. I emailed Carmen, got a response. She's on medical leave, but I can't get a hold of Jody, and the deadline is getting close. Do you have, by chance, a name or someone for this person to reach out to?
Julie, absolutely. If on both Carmen's voicemail and her email, it does refer folks to the Iowa Provider Relations mailbox. And that is providerrelations@iowatotalcare.com. And I will put that in the chat.
Perfect.
And from the claims side, we are looking at that project to take out those home health claims that should not be in there because they should be an exception if they don't have that condition code on the claim. So we are taking a look at that project as well to pull out those claims. And we can update Brandon too when that is done so that all of you know that your claims won't be recovered.
Perfect. That would be great.
Okay.
So those were the submitted ahead questions. So I'll go ahead and scroll back to the top of the chat here. Is Iowa Total Care looking into a fix for incorrect no EOB denials that are occurring on room and board?
Yes, and I think we found some issue for that, but we actually added that to the TPL exceptions quite a while ago. Are these older claims? They're new claims.
Let's see.
Okay.
Leilani, if you could let us know if those are old or new, you can either unmute or put it in the chat. That's fine.
She put it in the chat that she's seeing current denials.
Okay.
Okay. And what facility are you with? You could just put that in the chat. I can look into it. Good, Sam. Okay. Yep. I will take a look at that, and then we'll have your provider rep get back to you as well.
Okay.
I will get that to Amber.
Since the L6 issue is finally being resolved, will the projects related to recoupment letters also be recalled, project 16554223 in particular?
Yes, if it's for a COB related reason, I mean, if the recoupment is for that purpose, then we will be taking a look at all of those.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then there was some chatter here regarding the four visits. Folks, we're just regarding those free for home health, the free four, well, they're not free, but the four visits that you can do while they're working on getting your visits covered. The issues that four visits won't cover the immediate need when the turnaround is up to 2 weeks. It looks like someone said, so are you saying we get four visits per rev code? I'm going to answer that and then I will circle back. And so it would not be per rev code. It would be period, four visits that could encompass any of your services being nursing, PTOT speech, home health aid, four visits total. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Comment on they're seeing the client waiting longer on getting those treatment plans going.
So if you have a specific example, you can send those to me. In general, like I said, we really try to get those turned around just as quick as we're able to. And we work them in the order that they're received. So if we start pulling people out of order, it'll make other people wait longer. So that's why we work them in the order we get them.
If home health folks, if you have some examples where it's taken up to that 2 week limit, feel free to share those with Brandon and I, as long as there's no defining patient information, you can forward that to Brandon and I, and we can get that forwarded on.
Yeah, all I really need to look it up so you're not doing PHI is just the OP number, and I can look. And then just a reminder, make sure when you do the original submission, it has all the clinical that's needed, so it has the plan of care and stuff. Just because I know if we have to call out for clinical, that can slow it down. And so it's the, you know, over 90% are done in 8 days that have complete clinical at submission.
All right. I have the same issue with the CRR claims. A corrected claim was submitted and paid, but subsequent claims with the 13 TOB are being denied as duplicates. So that may be an issue out there, it looks like.
Yeah, I just pulled some claims data on it, and obviously I haven't gone through it yet, but I do see where some of them are denying as duplicate. So I will take a look at that further, and then I will let Brandon know what I'm finding, and we can figure out what's going on to fix it.
Okie doke. Looks like Jeannie put in that provider relations at iowatotalcare.com. Thanks for that. Same for us too on the CRR. Okay, perfect. We're going to be looking into that and getting back to Brandon. What HCPCS code should I be using for room and board claims? We have always used the T2046 with GZ modifier. Now was told to use a Q5003.
So that's actually incorrect. On our hospice sheet, remember, it's all by rev code. So for room and board, you should be billing rev code 658. And if you bill just that and not the CPT code, then it'll go through correctly.
Okay. Home health claims are denying with G codes for non-covered. We were told by our Iowa Total Care rep that Iowa Total Care must wait to submit projects for corrections until they know that the configuration works. Is there an update if this configuration is working correctly? Will all claims be reprocessed?
Yes, we had a relatively brief issue with this and added or took those codes out of the non-covered codes list. On the claim side, we don't use them for payment, so that's how they ended up in there to start with. But they were removed, and we were testing the configuration to make sure that we weren't seeing additional denials for any other codes, as well as some of the codes that we had in. That testing is now done, and the project is being pulled for that. So we are going to reprocess all of those claims for that time frame that, that we had that configuration in.
Thank you. The 12/4/20 provider news alert instructed us to bill the COVID adjustment claims as the first claim as a correction and the rest of the claims to be new claims. So somebody's commenting on that.
Yeah, and I think that's dependent on when the COVID days happen in the month, because it should be, I mean, you could do it by date. You could also do the COVID adjustment as the 217 bill type as well. As long as we end up with all of the days, it should go through just fine. Although I am going to look into that duplicate issue and see what's going on.
Okay. Earlier you stated put a fix into place for coinsurance claims paying correctly. We are still experiencing this on current claims. Again, working with Amber, but haven't been able to get an answer as to when a fix would be put into place. If this was fixed 2 months ago, why would we still be seeing these issues? Amber does have our claims that are currently still processing this way and has had them for months.
Okay, I will reach out to Amber and make sure that I have those claims examples and make sure that they aren't manual processing errors, because if that's the case, then we'll educate our team. But it has been updated in the system, so I will take a look at what's going on with those claims once I get them from Amber, or if I already have them, I'll take a look at them as well.
And can you let Brandon know the outcome of that one as well?
Sure. Yep. Definitely.
Thank you. I'm not sure who to direct this question to. If we have residents who have Medicaid in our community and reside in our facility for 30 days, are they liable to pay us their client participation amount?
Sorry, can you repeat that question? I didn't see it in the chat.
If we have residents who have Medicaid in our community and reside in our facility for 30 days, are they liable to pay us their client participation amount?
I believe it depends on whether or not they get added. I mean, if they're reviewed for client participation by the state, we do get retro client participation amounts for certain members. So it depends on if they show up on that report. However, it would end up being a recoupment because the claims would have most likely paid out prior to us getting that notification that they had client participation. If we don't get a notification, I believe you guys get one too, then we would not take client participation out of those claims.
Okay. That is the last question I see in our mailbox. Anybody else have another question? You're welcome to unmute on the bottom left, or you can type it in the mailbox here. All right. So we will, we have another half an hour before we join with Amerigroup. So I will go, let's see. I think we do have one.
I also have a
when I
was
Total Care started, I was told to put the XB in box 18. In December of 2019, we were told to put it in box 80. I asked one of the calls if we have to reprocess the ones that were sent with XB in box 18. I was told we wouldn't have to reprocess because we were told to put it in box 18.
That's correct. If that was an error in the information that we gave out, you would not have to correct that, but they're taking, sorry, you're saying Iowa Total Care is taking back all those calls or?
Yeah, it's claims. I'm sure they meant. Sorry, claims.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, those are the recovery projects that I was going to look into. And you're okay. We assumed it was claims. So we are going to look into those, and we'll let Brandon know with an update when we review those and get the correct claims pulled back out of that.
Hi, this is Lori from Genesis VNA and Hospice, and I have a question in regards to the CPs also.
Sure.
My question is, the nursing facilities are also getting the CPs taken out of their payments prior to the patients being transferred from skilled to hospice. And then once they go into hospice, even though they're still at the same facility, the CP is still coming out, but it's coming out on the hospice side now. I've got one provider where that's happening to quite a bit, and I don't know how to make the representatives, when I'm talking to them, understand about the CPs. They're a little bit confused when you do call what the CP actually is.
Okay. Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, but it's just happening that first month when they transfer from the nursing facility to the hospice facility?
That I'm not 100% sure on. I would have to double check on that.
Okay.
I don't believe so, no.
Okay.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
Okay. I mean, we can look into that on our end. Do you work with Darlene, I believe, right? Darlene and Heath?
Yes.
Do they have your claim or any claim examples for that?
No. This one just recently came up on a phone call that I had with a nursing facility, and she sent me some screenshots of what was taken out for their CP, and then we're also taking a CP out when we're sending the payment that we get from you guys, so they're shorted quite a bit of money.
Okay.
Lori,
yeah, I will.
Yeah,
I think this is Laura with Good Salmon. I am the rep that I know we had the phone call with, and it would only be for the first month that they change partway through from Medicaid to hospice, because the next month we wouldn't file a claim. So the only claim being submitted would be the hospice claim. That's why it's only happening on the first month of transition, because in the next month there wouldn't be a Good Sam claim and then a Genesis hospice claim. But I can vouch for Lori. We had several where the CP was taken out of the first portion of the month that we billed Iowa Total Care for. And then Genesis billed Iowa Total Care for the second portion of the month, and they took the same CP out of that payment.
Okay. I'll pull those claims, and we'll go through those. And obviously, if we underpaid you, or which sounds like we did, we can get those reprocessed for you, and we'll look at everybody's claims to make sure that's not happening across the board, or if it is, get those reprocessed and make sure everyone's educated on not taking them out of both.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Sure. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you. Any other questions while we have our reps with Iowa Total Care with us? Don't see any more in the chat. Give it another 30 seconds or so.
Julie, do we have any EVV or CareBridge questions? We do now have Justin, who is our liaison that works with CareBridge. And if there's any questions regarding EVV, Justin is available to answer any questions.
That's great. Any home health providers on that may have any EVV questions?
You can't let them off that easy. Come on, guys. Help me out.
You can unmute if you have a comment or question for Justin, or type it in the chat.
I have a question for Justin.
All right.
I sent in a couple questions on EVV to Brandon last week. My name is Carrie, and I'm calling from the Skyline Center. We are having issues in regards to having claims rejected, but no reason of why they were rejected. When we go in to resubmit them, it comes back saying this is a duplicate claim.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that'd be something we would need to do research on. If it's rejected at the claim level, then that may not have anything to do with EVV, but we would have to, we could check first EVV and then look at the claim side of things too. If you just had some examples that you could share with us.
I guess I have a question in regards to how long after it's rejected should it show in the system? Because these are showing up not right away, like in the clearinghouses do.
So really that it should be happening, I think, within a day or two of our decision. So whether that's rejected, approved, or denied, then it would show up in the care bridge. There is a slight delay in when we make the decision to when it would show up in care bridge portal.
Okay. Now, should it have reasons of why it was rejected instead of just sitting there?
Yeah, I would have to look at the example of what's going on to be able to give you more input into that. I think there are situations where I've seen it say rejected and it has given a reason. So I would just have to look at what you're seeing to help with that specifically.
Okay, and how do I get in touch with you?
You would submit that information into your provider relations specialist and they will work with Justin.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Somebody put in the chat, recently the visits are not computing at the correct units. I'm going to assume they're meaning EVV here.
So I just looked at, I just had a similar question, and these are, I'm assuming these are for visits that have not been claimed yet. And so I did ask CareBridge about what it is showing. And so it'll show like, and this is not on the visit detail side. This is just kind of when you look through the list of visits that you've completed, it may say like 25 units and then in parentheses have, or 25 minutes and then in parentheses have like one unit. And when I asked about that, she said that in the parentheses, it's going to show the amount of full units, which that would be one full unit. And then when the claims are actually, or when the visits are rolled into claims, that then the rounding rules will take over. And then that one unit would turn into two because it would be one full unit. And then some partial minutes, which turn into another unit due to rounding.
Thank you for
otherwise,
that explanation.
Yeah, otherwise CareBridge uses the rounding rules that are in the Iowa code, so that shouldn't be any different.
Any other questions for any of our representatives that are with us? Somebody typed in, visit detail shows three units for 58 minutes. However, when you submit the claim, it does compute correctly. However, this false information doesn't allow to make any corrections if needed. In the beginning, it was calculating correctly.
And what corrections were you wanting to make? You should be able to make, like, if somebody checked in and checked out incorrectly and you haven't sent that over as a claim yet, it should be fairly easy to modify that with a manual entry or a manual revision to that. To that visit, once it comes to us and it's waiting on a decision, then you kind of have to wait until that decision is made. It won't the CareBridge system won't allow somebody to modify a visit that's been rolled into a claim and is with us with a decision.
So how should the provider address any rounding rules EVV claims if it was a five unit visit and it was billed by CareBridge as four units, for example?
Yeah, so I would ask you to send that example to me because I've reviewed several different instances and looked at the rounding rules, and I, from my views, it was working. So if you're if you have an example where when the claim is actually sent in, if it's not what it should be based on the rounding rules, then please send that our way so I can look at it. And I would just ask to, I visit a few different associations with the PR team. And when you send us information, I've had this happen a couple of times, please only send us Iowa Total Care examples. I don't mind answering questions or general questions about things, but I've had people send me Amerigroup information, which would technically be a HIPAA thing. So I just wanted to throw that out there just to make sure that if you do send us some examples that they're Iowa Total Care members.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right, with seeing none, we'll go ahead and end this piece of the call, and I will disconnect to get redone up for Amerigroup's portion at 11:30. I want to thank Iowa Total Care for being with us today and being with us each and every month. We appreciate you joining and working through these questions with our members. So if you have any other questions, feel free to reach out to Brandon or I, and we'll talk to you all later. Have a great rest of your week, everybody.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.